Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer, and we are here to talk about UNLV finally getting over the hump against Utah, 73-61. Caps a pretty entertaining day of quarterfinal basketball at the Mountain West Tournament today at the Thomas and Mack Center. The UNLV advances, meaning all of the top four seeds advance to tomorrow, you're probably listening to this on Friday, today's semifinal, 6 p.m., New Mexico will face San Diego State. 8:30 p.m. UNLV gets BYU for the third time this year. And quick recap: New Mexico beats Air Force by 6. Darrington Hobson acts like Darrington Hobson. Has 28-15. Also had a little bit of extracurricular. Plenty of people have thoughts on that. Probably too much to get into here. It's we only got a few minutes here. San Diego State almost chokes it away against Colorado State. Some iffy officiating. Andy Ogade getting tossed for Colorado State, their leading scorer and rebounder, maybe probably shouldn't have. Then BYU lets TCU hang around for a while, scores almost 100 points, moves on. Jimmer Fredette scores 45. Another ho-hum day. And then UNLV. That's the one you want to hear about. That's the one we're going to talk about. Again, 73-61 over Utah. And Ray, look, the last four games, they've made their mark overwhelming these let's just say it, weaker opponents in the early minutes with defensive intensity and building a hole for them that their opponents can't dig out of. And, they took a step up in the competition tonight and executed the same plan.
Yeah, the defensive pressure, especially when the other team's trying to bring the ball up the court. For times there tonight against Utah, I thought that it was that TCU game. Remember against TCU, the defensive pressure was just so good in the backcourt that they couldn't get the ball up the court, and UNLV's lead just grew. Well, this is what we were today. TCU made like three or four shots in the first half. I think they were 2-16 at one point. I mean, Utah, I apologize. Been a long day, obviously. A lot of hoops. And it was just this defense where either they couldn't get the ball up the court and UNLV gets the ball on a turnover, or they get the ball out of up court and they're so out of whack with what they want to do, they can't get into their offense. So if you're looking for a key, and if you're looking for a key in the past five games, they've really turned it up a notch defensively, and it's been fun to watch. It really has created some things offensively as well.
Yeah, and just some numbers to back up that defense. Utah was just 13 of 40 from the floor, turned over 15 times, bad numbers. In turn, everybody gets in on the act for UNLV, and you mentioned the easy offense, and nobody benefited more than Anthony Marshall, the Mojave High product. 13 points, 11 rebounds, or 12 rebounds, excuse me, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block. He was all over the place.
He went up and sold popcorn at halftime.
Yeah, helped a couple old ladies across Swenson, and he was a spark. And look, he even said it after the game. At the beginning of the year when he was coming off the bench, he was there to be an energy guy off the bench. Now he's starting, and now he's playing so well that guys are actually following his lead. And, Ray, you could actually see it tonight. Teammates were following his lead out there.
Yeah, 34 minutes he played tonight. And what's always stood out for me about Anthony is just his athleticism and his leaping ability and his he's not afraid. He's going to take the ball to the basket. I don't care if it's at New Mexico in the pit when he had that memorable play, or if it was tonight. And you know what? Early in the game, he took it to the hole and he got blocked. Now, some freshmen, you get blocked going to the rim. That's it. You're done for the day.
You're
shutting
it
down. That's it. Yeah, throw me to the edge of the pond. Give Anthony some credit. He came back. He stayed aggressive. He went to the hole. But clearly, the best game he's played. 13 points, 12 boards, looks great. For me, what looks great is those 5 assists. Game-high 5 assists. Just a great all-around performance.
Calling for the ball to command it, yeah.
Right. I mean, and not just for Anthony. It was, I tell you, Steve Jones, I thought, played a great game. 17 minutes, and you go to a lot of practices. I've been to a few. But the one thing I notice in practice is that, Steve plays – point guard on the scout team. So he's always providing defensive pressure, and he takes such great pride and thrill and really wrecking havoc on defense in those drills. And you could see it's a badge of honor for him. Well, now coaches, you know, dead ball, he's in a certain Steve. Hey, you go do that same defense that you do in practice on the other team, bringing the ball up the court. Today he played 17 minutes, really caused some problems. And just one of the unsung heroes I wrote about. I thought that there were so many folks that had great games today that, you know, we could talk literally about all 10 guys who played and talk about a contribution they made.
Yeah, and a couple others worth mentioning. Matt Shaw, his first real contribution off that ankle injury, 5 points with a huge three in the first half. You know, Darius Santee playing big inside, helping combat that size of Utah's, had 6 points, hit all three of his shot attempts, I believe, and you know he was impressed, or 3 of 5 from the floor, excuse me. But
boarding a bucket for Santee, I thought was very impressive
against a 7'3" center. Yeah,
yeah, and UNLV, the team that can't rebound, out rebounds Utah, the team that's dominated them on the inside for the most part by 9 rebounds.
Yeah, and you know all around a good game for UNLV. You know, didn't really feel like a home game until about the second half. And, you know, UNLV used that home court advantage. They probably had the second most fans out there for them today. I think we can all agree that New Mexico might have the home court edge here. Steve Alford can complain all he wants about the site of the tournament, but half of Albuquerque was there today.
Yeah, the only show in town. I have so much respect with how New Mexico travels. And even like if the women's team plays in Albuquerque on a Saturday night, there are like 12,000 people there.
Yeah.
No questions about it. It's a great thing to do. Go support the home university. And it's fun just listening to those guys cheer and some of the chants. And I think that's one of the great things because, you know, you've traveled with the team. You've been in all the arenas. You've been in all the away cities. Well, for me and for a lot of other folks, we haven't got to see those guys. So here today, I'm 12 hours of basketball, seeing 8 teams in the league. I get to, you know, hear the fight songs. I'm humming the fight songs while I'm writing my stories. And it's real good. It's a record, by the way, 12,405 fans for a session for the league. And it's just, you know, a combination of a few things. One, 2 ranked teams, BYU and New Mexico, so there's a lot of interest there. And also, I think the economy in Las Vegas, you could get rooms and flights here cheaper. So it's just a great environment in that arena. I know you're from, you know, the Big 12 and Kansas and all these big games and big crowds, but this is big-time basketball.
Yeah.
And it's been cool. It was a good day. I mean, honestly, a good, fun day.
Mm-hmm. You know, definitely was. BYU, maybe not as many fans as we expected. You know, Utah had a good amount here. No, definitely good atmosphere. And look, let's just move forward because it's all setting up for tomorrow night when, you know, if you're a college basketball fan, you know, at home, you're going to be wanting to watch both of these semifinals. You got New Mexico and San Diego State. You know, San Diego State, with some help from some other bubble teams losing, might be in right now. Probably wouldn't hurt itself with a win over New Mexico tomorrow. They really struggled against Colorado State. I think they had maybe 2 shots out that they hit outside of 12 feet. You know, the big guys, White, Leonard, and Thomas, did all the damage. New Mexico, you know, the best starting 5 in the league, no question. Not much of a bench, but they got worn pretty thin today by Air Force. How do they respond tomorrow? That game's going to be a war, but let's talk about UNLV-BYU. Jimmy Fredette tonight, 45 points. He was getting all kinds of foul calls, goes 23 of 24 from the line. BYU scored, it's basically first to 100 wins with them. And, you know, UNLV has done a good job of forcing BYU to play at its pace. 7 straight wins over BYU in the MAC. Does it continue tomorrow? I mean, what are we looking at here?
Well, I think you throw those 7 games out the window because it's a tournament game, and I think both teams are equally matched. And just watching them side by side tonight, that BYU, I think every time they need a bucket, they could get one. It seems like they scored at will. Now, I don't know how much of that was the TCU team they played, but BYU is just a great offensive team. I know UNLV should have beaten them twice this year at the Marriott Center in Provo. They had an 8-point lead in the second half before collapsing late, but that just shows how quick BYU could score. Remember, these two teams are rivals, so you throw away any kind of streak in a rivalry game. Great guard play from both teams. It's going to come down to who comes ready to play, who grabs the momentum, who hits the shot, and who finishes the game. I know there's been 7 games in a row. It's a great streak to talk about. But with these two teams, especially BYU, which I think is probably the elite team of the league, the perennial power, if you look at the course of the 11 years.
I
think it's an equally matched game. If you got a coin, we'll flip it 10 times. I'll take tails and BYU. You take heads and UNLV, and we'll find out who wins. I think it's going to be that close. Going to be fun.
Yeah, I think the one thing here is, what does Jimmer do? And not only numbers-wise, but does he make an impact early in the game? Because, look, two games this season, I just saw the numbers. I believe he's 4 of... something like 6 of 25 from the floor against UNLV in two games this year. The first game a little under the weather. The second game, he really didn't get going until UNLV had them buried in a deep hole. And, you know, his 21 points that day were really inconsequential. UNLV has done a good, has been the only team that consistently has done enough to keep Jimmer quiet. Can they do it again? I think that's going to be the key to everything, because if Jimmer's not going... BYU doesn't have one guy who can carry him the same way he can.
And remember the last time they played, Ryan, 70-39 UNLV. It was a win that got him back in the top 25. And
I mean, 88-74.
No, didn't they? The last game? Just 2 weeks ago, when UNLV beat BYU, wasn't it 70-39? Oh, no, that was the
Colorado State game.
Again, folks, my bad. Late. But UNLV, that last game against BYU, they'd shot lights out, couldn't miss. It was as clean. We were laughing that UNLV just could not miss. So you take away that great start, and it was, I mean, still a dominated game by UNLV, but you're not going to get that start every game against BYU. I think it was a once in an occurrence type of thing, and I'm genuinely looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Anthony Marshall, probably a star, was born or continues his growth tonight. Who guards Jimmer tomorrow? Who's going to get the defensive assignment?
I think you're going to see Trevon get it. He's done a good job. Oscar's done a good job helping on him. I think with the way they rotate, obviously everybody's going to see some time. But I think in a matchup of KG veterans, I think they're going to favor Trevon here.
Okay. Obviously, I would say that full court press that we saw tonight has worked so well. Do we see it again tomorrow? Do you think it's something they're going to stick with?
I think they can apply it.
Okay,
on BYU.
The one thing I thought is that it works great with teams that don't have real good guard play. TCU, San Diego State, maybe even a little bit Utah, because they're kind of young back there. But against BYU, they're so good with their guards, and I just don't know if it works. It might set up too many fast breaks.
I think we're just gonna have to show up and watch, because I think you're gonna see a high. I think you're gonna see a high scoring game.
Okay,
I think you're gonna see a total here in the 160s somewhere.
No way.
Yeah.
Put me on the under, baby.
Okay.
160.
I think you're gonna see it.
Yeah, but the thing is that you got to remember, in tournament games, man, and I've tried to tell you this with the Big East tournament, they take the air out of the ball, like the final 8 minutes. It's like, nobody wants to shoot. Let's keep everything. Let's get down to like a minute. Let's try to take it.
But you were the one telling me to throw everything out the window.
I
caught you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, throw it out of the window on the streaks. Folks, listen, don't take any gambling advice from me. I'm having a little bit of a downfall right now. The Great Wall is shattering beneath us all. Ryan Green, on the other hand, is going to invest in a 1-900 number.
I'm not offering any tips on this one, but I will say, show up to the MAC, because UNLV fans need to get on those tickets. Because I'm just saying, from what I saw today from New Mexico, if it by some chance is UNLV New Mexico on Sunday or Saturday, we very well may see a 50-50 crowd. I really think so.
Okay, but the upper bowl is could be all UNLV fans.
It was about half New Mexico fans today. They came. They traveled.
Give them credit. Listen, New Mexico, 29-3, best record in school history. They've won 14 straight games. They're probably going to be a 2 seed. Is that too aggressive?
Two or a three. They'll have a chance.
Which, for the league, is awesome. You know, BYU's probably going to be, what, a 5 seed, 6 seed?
Somewhere on there.
I mean, for the league, that's awesome. If San Diego State gets in as well, 4 teams for this league, and the way some of those lower teams played, you know, Air Force had a great game today. TCU was semi-competitive, even though I think they're not going far. Colorado State, I've been high on all year, and I think they're going to be good eventually. I think this league is really going to be good next year.
Mm-hmm.
especially, I mean, Hobson will be back.
Maybe.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm sitting there listening to the guy speak today, and somebody asked him, compared him to Danny Granger. And I said, why would you do that? Because now the kid's going to think he could go right to the league. And I know he's long, and I think he's going to be in the NBA, but he's got to play another year in college. I mean, this kid, he's bounced around so much. You just don't go from Eastern Utah, wherever he was at, to the Phoenix Suns or wherever. I mean,
says who? Well, 15 double-doubles, 28-15 today.
Yeah, against Air Force in Wyoming and whoever. I mean, listen, Sean Marion was a one-and-done here at UNLV. You could tell he was a star the whole time.
I think you could tell Darrington Hobson's a star the whole time. He has a little bit of an attitude, but talent-wise, I think he's there.
If I was that good, I'd have an attitude, too. Well, not that kind of attitude, but, I mean, you'd be a little
confident. You'd also want to go get rich next year if you could.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, you're true. 100% right.
We could debate this all night. But we will continue it tomorrow. We'll have a more Rebel Room post-game edition tomorrow night following UNLV BYU. Ray, any final comments?
I've spoken way too much.
You've said too much.
I've already the UNLV BYU score has already haunted me.
Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow night. Rebel Room post-game edition for Ray Brewer and Ryan Green. Tune in then. Thanks.